Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton, and this is the Saving with Steve show. I want to thank you all for joining us. More importantly, I want to thank you all for sharing us with your friends, your family, your associates. We have over 600,000 listeners, and we're thankful for that. We appreciate you. We have a wonderful show for you today. The first one is this: how to break through those superficial interactions. Get real, create meaningful connections with people in every aspect of life. We have the authors, Dr. Carol Robin, Dr. David Bradford of Connect. Basically, their book is called Connect, Building an Exceptional Relationship with Friends, Family, and Colleagues. Now, they teach at university level. They have students that have called them 10 years after taking the course, tell them how the course has saved their marriage, helped them break through to estranged siblings for years and more. Outstanding way to break through these superficial relationships. You want to stick around for that. Today, we want to talk to you simply how to secure a bigger Social Security check. You're going to want to be around for that one because that's really all about money. And today, companies are opting for a complete return to work or a hybrid model. The office space itself must undergo a post-pandemic makeover. But aside from extra hand sanitizer and plastic glass barriers, CEO and best-selling author Dr. Rebecca Smith, aka Rebecca the Film Doctor, is revealing to us how to create a more welcoming environment post-pandemic that enhances employees' productivity and engagement. I can't wait to talk to Dr. Rebecca Smith. She's wonderful. You're going to love it too. I want to call you Rebecca. Is that okay?
That's perfect.
You're just too nice for Dr. Smith. What I would really like to do, because I know you are involved in the film industry, right, and you're a best-selling author of the book Born to Do It, Becoming a Leader of a Business Niche Using Powerful Spiritual Techniques. And I know we're also talking about the workplace, but let's help our audience understand where you came from, your story a little bit, and then we'll get into the questions about the workplace.
Yes. So it's kind of interesting how my story kind of transpired, because I thought I had my life all mapped out. I thought what I should be doing is working in the world of academia, being a lecturer, getting my PhD, and working in that world and teaching. And then I realized when I was doing my PhD, I did enjoy it. It was certainly a challenge, but then I wanted to do something different and get away from the computer and writing. So a friend of mine who was asked to produce a horror film festival said to me, would you like to help out? And I was like, yeah, why not? Something to do. And that something to do was actually my true calling. And it woke me up to find out this is what I should be doing with my life. I need to be, and what I wanted to be doing was working in the film industry, in the world of film distribution. And through on that point onwards, I loved doing the festival kind of side of things, producing a festival. And when I was speaking to filmmakers, they said to me that they haven't got anybody they can turn to help them get their films seen in festivals and strategize. So I thought, I can do this. There's a gap in the market. Got some knowledge. I'm going to make this work. And since 2010 onwards, I've never looked back of leaving academia. I got the doctorate. I have the doctorate, which I'm proud of. But then and I went straight on into the film industry and just carved a niche with my company, The Festival Doctor, worked on it every day to get it where it is now as an established brand in the film industry in the UK.
That's wonderful. I was going to say, I know of a number of people who went and got their PhD just to say they did it.
Yeah.
Got it done.
It does happen.
I have a friend of mine, he actually has a PhD in psychology. And he's full on like an athletic person, but he did it because of, he's in the health insurance industry. And they're like, I go, what did that happen? I go, why did you go complete it? He goes, well, you know what? I just got to finish. That's it. Most people get a PhD. They got to finish. Sometimes they realize they don't have anything to do with what they did before.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's great. Yeah. So now help me understand how you started moving towards more of the spiritual nature to help people with productivity, you know, well-being, balance, all that kind of stuff.
So I wasn't the most spiritual person when I found what my sole purpose was. I didn't know what that was or what my why was or what that kind of terminology was until later on down the line. But I've always been, you know, very positive, but I didn't know anything really about universe or attraction, the secret, nothing like that, or, you know, tarot cards, nothing like that at all. And it wasn't until I had a bad breakup with an ex-boyfriend of mine that a friend of mine said, oh, you know, maybe turn to the world of spirituality to help you attract more of what you want and less of what you don't want. And then she taught me the world of angel therapy, tarot cards, cosmic ordering, manifestation, things that I had no idea existed until I think I was around 26, 27 when this kind of all occurred. So it was a little bit later in life with the spiritual awakening. But when I had these tools, my whole life changed. And when I met my first spiritual kind of teacher, he said, you have no idea what my previous life was like until I got into the world of cosmic ordering manifestation. I was like, okay, I wasn't sure at first. Obviously, I was a bit skeptical. But then as I got more into those worlds and feng shui, I found ways to apply them through the people I was working with into my business and also myself. And it changed my whole life. And I used to be a very anxious and energy person. And I found it very hard to do work on myself and generally not to be, you know, anxious. But now it's the opposite. It's a lot less. Obviously, we all get that. All of us do. It's natural to get a stronger resilience. But it's nowhere near like it was before. I was in a state where I was, hair was falling out, anxiety was so bad I couldn't go in a car because I thought I might die. So it was like really bad. And now it's a lot different. I travel everywhere around the world. I'm always doing things at my business, at responsibility, and I'm busy. So it's a lot different to where it used to be. And all of that is down to bringing in spiritual practices and also bringing in key business techniques, as the book explains. But spiritual is really an important part of anyone's business.
Oh, no, I agree with that. Now, I it's interesting. We had a, you know, so everybody knows we had a pre-conversation. During that conversation, I kept thinking to myself, okay, why did it work there? Why didn't it work there? What was this all about? The atmosphere, the way things looked. And you know what? When I first went to work in the corporate world, I went to work for a 100-year-old company out in California. And well, that's not true. It's a second place. But it was interesting because they had the 1970s partitions because they were like bright orange. Okay. Mm-hmm. And almost like I want to say throw up orange because they had faded. And that's what they had all over the company, or either that or they had the gray ones with the grayish walls and stuff like that. And I could see how a lot of people in there looked like they were in a London tube station, and they look like they're, you know, the Walking Dead. And not the Walking Dead like zombies, but they just all look like they're just wiped out. So I see how, you know, you look at that and say, okay, I can see how that environment was. And then I can look at things that I created in other places where it's vastly different. People more excited, they're engaged, they're positive, they're looking at solving issues as opposed to just trying to get through things. I saw that and I'm like, oh, it was a great reflection. Now, when it comes to this post-pandemic workplace to enhance engagement and productivity, what kind of upgrades would employers or even employees working at a business want to make, even with their own space?
Most definitely feng shui, because I used to think that feng shui was just in the home and just reorganizing, you know, maybe furniture, but it's a lot more to it than that. So when I was at a networking event, one of my dear friends introduced me to a lady called Marie Diamond. And she's actually featured in The Secret in the feng shui section. Mm-hmm. And told me like how when you actually move things around your in your house, it, where the right energy flows for abundance, health, wisdom, knowledge, etc. And obviously financial is one big thing there. But also using the right colors, what she calls quantum colors. When you tap into the right colors in the home, everything will change. And I was quite surprised by that. But then when you apply that in your home and your office, whether that be with a team of people or by yourself in your home office, wearing the right colors and on your clothing and in your branding, it really does change. Like, I didn't think it was just literally in a house, but you can do it everywhere. And also what she taught me, Marie, was how to change energy in my logo, in my branding, because that too I have no idea about, because before I was all dark and nobody could see what I was trying to do, and my logo was really like small and dull. But now it's a lot more vibrant and bright thanks to Feng Shui. So that meant highly. I remember our conversation I had with her, and I said to her, you know, here's my business card. And it was just like this black logo. And she said, well, first of all, the woman on your logo, she should be facing your logo. You're looking outside your logo. Right now, her back's to it. Therefore, she has her back to your clients, and you're closing the door on them. So not letting any abundance in. And for one thing, it's in black. You need to put in more colors that resonate with you and your energy field. Right now, it's very dull, and that's why everything's a low vibration. And when you say that, you're like, wow, that does make sense. You see when companies change their colors, just how much more thriving they become, and more abundant they become, and successful they become.
Oh, it just kind of opens up to somebody's eyes and see the sparkle in it.
Exactly, it is. And when she told me about colors, I was just surprised how powerful colors can be. But then when you actually do change stuff in your office and yourself and your clothing and your branding, you're like, wow, I feel quite good now seeing this. Has this very interesting effect on the mental well-being too, but it's all about energy, you know. Energy goes down, and then colors play a huge part in that. So having the right colors for your branding, your teamwork, and your office can make a huge difference to everybody in there.
So you know what, this following upon that, so individuals who are used to wearing the dark suits, I'm like the blue, the blacks and stuff like that, whether it be male or female, it might behoove them to start looking at, you know, I don't expect to see a bunch of males coming in with a red suit or something like that in a business environment, or, you know, a bright yellow or something, but, you know, maybe brighter shirts, brighter ties, all that kind of stuff. Is that would help as well?
Absolutely. So Marie talked to me when we met. She says, you need to look into what we call quantum colors. So quantum colors is what she put together, which is kind of like the key colors that one should wear for whatever they want to achieve with their goals. So she said to me, when you go for this meeting with this big client that you want to sign up, then wear, for example, gold for abundance, silver magnificence, and also around the pinks and the fuchsias are also good for clarity and for success. And cobalt blue, if you can, somewhere in your bag or your clothing there, which is also about leadership, showing you can lead the project. So I was a bit like, really? Because I just wore black before, yeah, and you know, very gray, you just described. It was quite cliche.
No, we all been there. You know what? If you grew up if you grew up in the 80s, it was the dark suits. I mean, for my first major job, my boss, it was a 3-piece suit. It was always dark. It was either green or blue or black. And you wore the white shirt and the dark tie, and his idea of business casual was taking off the vest, you know?
Yeah. So very different world completely. And I know exactly what you mean. It was really something else. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I changed it, and my whole mental health changed, because I was quite down, obviously, with just freeing up my business. I just started it up and I was a little bit all over the shop. But having the right colors really just like literally made me change. And I looked at her when I met her. She was wearing this like massive gold necklace, ivory, saffron yellow. All these colors she told me would actually achieve her goals. And they did. Everyone was walking towards her, and just heard how powerful colors and the whole feng shui thing is. And every time I go out now, I have no black clothes. I have one black outfit, and I almost put like gold on it to really change the energy flow. And it really does make you feel a whole lot different. So I tell everybody to try it. Go from a day of of gray to purple and gold, and you'll change. It does make a huge difference.
You know, it's so interesting because I know a lot of people in academia, and you know, just talking about this type of stuff would be like taboo for them because they just can't get there. Especially the mathematical people, they just don't see the logic in it. But I think but the thing is, they might not see it logically in their mind, but you could see it out there with a lot of people who dress in that positive fashion. You can see they're going somewhere. They've got things are going on, so to speak. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break right now. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. Again, we're talking about the ins and outs of money. I have the film doctor, Dr. Rebecca Smith, talking about how we're moving back into this post-pandemic workplace and doing it with more engagement and productivity. And we were just talking about the use of colors, whether it be you in the office, how it could brighten up the room, bring you more clients. At the end of the day, it's about more money, especially if you're in the workplace. So one of the things people use or have heard of, what we call vision boards. I know you have some tips for designing and placing vision boards in the office to create innovation and inspiration. So walk us through how you go about doing that.
So vision boards is, again, this was all new to me when I began to learn more about the spiritual world. And it actually was Marie Diamond again, who said to me, you should probably think about looking into vision boards as well for your business. So vision boards are really powerful because they can actually, again, change the mindset. So with a vision board, what you do is you put on images that reflect what you want to manifest and achieve in your life. That can be all areas, not just wealth and money and abundance, but it can be everything in terms of, you know, health, well-being, wisdom, lifestyle, the whole lot, everything in your life. And she told me what to do is she said, do it landscape. And put in the center of the vision board a picture of you, because you are the center of your universe. And then she said, put things around that, which are words and pictures. So put the pictures that really resonate with you, whether it be, you know, a happy couple, if you want romance, or awards, if you want success for your clients, and maybe someone as maybe in a gym, if you want to, you know, really get ripped in the gym or something like that. And then put your manifestations below and affirm what you want. My intention is to run a thriving business that earns $200 per week or something like that, whatever you want to do. And put the words by the pictures. The universe needs words and pictures. Sometimes I do vision boards without words, but have like a key phrase at the bottom for each project I work on. And what I do is I request that my team who work with me, one in Canada, one in the UK, who's a part of my team in my business, is to create a vision board for each project that we work on for their film. So if the client's goals are, you know, winning awards in certain types of festivals and they want to network, then we do images of people, you know, shaking deals, you know, shaking hands to close a deal. BAFTA festival names, people on red carpets with loads of people there. And then we have as well awards, so happiness and success. And it really helps us each morning when we look at it. We put it in our eye lines. Actually, we've got one there. So they can see it. And then they can just look at each day and be like, yes, we're going to get success now. And I as well just think, wow, this is so cool. Having a vision board up here with all the pictures on. It's amazing. And it really does resonate. So that is a big thing to do because it does, again, change the mindset. So when you look at it, you can manifest that and think, yes, we're going to get this for that film. There's going to be an award coming in like on that picture. And it does, you look at it and you just think, yeah, I'm going to work towards this. And it inspires you to work harder and also enjoy the process.
And also, you know, I like that because when I was working overseas, we did vision boards because we were basically a startup. Everywhere I went, it was like me. And then I had to create it all. And the first person I hired was the manager that I wanted to, I thought I could develop into, you know, a country manager. So we would have a vision board of where we are, where we want to go at each little step. And yes, basically every day he walked in there or she walked in there, they were looking at it and going, okay, what do I need to do next? How do I make this occur? How do I make this happen? And they were just totally, they became more focused on that vision and making sure everybody else understood that vision. So whoever exactly. They talked to would buy into that vision and want to be part of it. So I think that's wonderful. Like, exactly. Like I said, we talked before and I was just like, yeah, I could see this.
I did this. I know, I love them because I have my awards vision board. Let me just try and grab it over. Just take it off. Mm-hmm. There we go. So, oops, there's a sign here that's just fallen down saying, so this is my awards vision board.
Oh,
so
cool.
This vision board, it's pictures of clients of mine, previous clients of mine I've worked with, you know, people on a big festival, mm-hmm. there with his award. They won a big award in South Africa, the Cannes Film Festival. That's me and a client that won 4 in one night. That's in Arizona. That's my podcast that won awards. Mm-hmm. So it's all just like, I just look at it each morning and I just think, wow, this is going to keep coming and coming. And I just keep getting that idea in my head about awards. And being at Tribeca as well, but he's saying he won an award with one of our clients. So if he was in one of our clients, he starred in, and he got an award there. So seeing that just brings so much happiness, but also it's like, wow, let's keep doing this. You know, this is what it's all about. It's getting that success and notoriety for the clients to help them on their journey. So you're right, you buy into it. And we all have that in our office. That's not the same as mine. Obviously, every step I'm in mine a different vision board because a different vision, but they have the same thing in terms of success, but different images that resonate with them to really get on board to the same kind of outlook.
And you know what the nice thing about vision boards is, whether it's your family, you don't have to be the owner of a business or be involved with a movie. It could be just your job. What do you exactly. have a vision for that job? How do you want to engage that? And you can put it there. And it could be that intention that you set every day to show up in a certain way that can make a difference in your job. So I think that's wonderful. Now, one of the things I want to ask you about it is how do you incorporate spirituality into daily office routines? You know, I know we talked about the intentions, but, you know, more on the cosmic end.
Yeah. So back in, as I mentioned, with my ex-boyfriend issue, one of the spiritual counselors I spoke with talked about cosmic ordering. I didn't really click on it until a few years later, but it came back to me in my life and I saw it on Amazon about cosmic ordering. So I thought, let me look into this because he told me about it. So I'm looking into it properly now with a guidebook. So there was a book I found called Cosmic Ordering Made Easier. And in it, it talks about, you know, it's kind of like manifesting, a little bit different. It's actually been more specific and like placing an order like you would in a restaurant. You know, I want cheese with chips and Coke. So being very specific, you know what you want and know exactly what it is that you want to order. So she told me that to really get more of what you want is to ask the universe, ask a question. She said to me, in the book, and we had a one-to-one about it because I was really excited about learning this new concept. And then she said, what you say is, what I really want is a car parking space upon my arrival to Soho, London today, mm-hmm. for the all concerned. And it's important to say for the good of all concerned at the end, because it's really important to say that so no one else loses out for you to gain. So if it's something like money, to someone, anybody to die, to leave it to her. She's really just saying it for the best of all concerned, harmonious as possible. She said, try the car parking cosmic order. So I thought, all right. So I thought, let me try this, give it a go. So I thought, I'm going to get the tube into London today. I'm going to drive in. So I did the order. And it's like, you know, the worst place to get a parking space is Soho in London. It's like, it's just not, doesn't bear thinking about. So I drove in and then I was like, okay, well, here's the car park area. And then this car pulled out and I was like, whoa. And it was literally just the timing of it was perfect. It just pulls out, off he goes, and it's an empty space in this full parking space for me to get into. I was like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. And it works. I kept doing it. So the way I do it for my business is obviously each day I have goals I want to achieve. You know, I want to get a new lead for a potential new product from a client. I want to get maybe some more people interested in some of my other products. I want to ensure that one of my films gets into a film festival. So I have like that. That's like my goals each day. So I turn them into cosmic orders. So normally I do it before I go to bed each night. So I ask the universe, what I really would love and appreciate is for no less than one of my clients' films to get accepted into a film festival tomorrow, the good of all concerned. Mm-hmm. And when I go up, it's pretty much there on the phone already. It's got in or comes late in the day, but it always occurs. Just don't get attached to how you think it should occur or how it should be delivered. It might come in a different way than what you expect. And be open to new ways of it coming in, but getting what you want in just a different way. So you have to be flexible. You can't still be controlling. But that I find is great. So I always encourage business owners each morning or in the evening, whenever the best for the time for time timings, is thinking, you know, what do you want to achieve today? And ask the universe, and then you'll get it.
That's wonderful. Now, we have about a minute left, and you know what? You say, hey, how, you know, encourage your team members to take breaks, feel the feelings, and can be game changing for well-being in the workplace. Because, you know, quite frankly, you've got all these people at home on Zoom doing all their meetings and all that stuff. And I find people who work at home on Zoom, they really don't take breaks because they feel like they're not being that productive if they do take breaks, and they should, because it could, I mean, not taking breaks is not good health-wise.
No, absolutely. No, it's not. I mean, in the whole pandemic, you know, when that first came on, people seem to work longer hours than they would in an office because, you know, you're at home. So carry on typing all night. I mean, I was guilty of it too, but I was in a flow of different things. But I say recommend is to always take breaks because you need that inspiration. So I always like to take the afternoons off, you know, if you can just have like, just don't look at the PC, just go away. And then when you go outside in nature, somehow, some reason in nature, wherever you might be in the world, something just seems to click. And then you get more inspired, but also you feel more refreshed and rejuvenated because you're away from the office and away from the computer. And that way, actually, when you're out in nature, you feel a lot more grateful because more kindness comes, washes over you. You feel totally grateful for what you're doing and that you're safe and well, etc. The usual kind of things that people can take for granted. When you have that space out, a lot more stuff manifests. So by doing that in a routine every day and into that habit is absolutely crucial.
Oh, I agree with that. It helps to settle the mind.
Exactly.
I actually sit on a hammock in the afternoon for about 20 minutes and just not think of anything or have anything and just listen to the wind or the breeze or whatever. And it just makes all the difference in the world because, you know, whatever you have, it's just no longer there. So exactly. It's my way of reconnecting with my wife when I go home. So yeah, exactly. I think that's great. Hey, Rebecca, I want to thank you for joining us today. I think the pearls of wisdom that you've exposed or expounded on have been wonderful. How can people get a hold of you if they want to get a hold of you or get your help?
The best way would be via Instagram, which is at RebeccaFilmDR. And also my website, where you can learn more about me and my book and what I do, which is RebeccaLouisaSmith.com.
Rebecca, thank you for joining us. Stay happy, stay healthy. We'll look forward to seeing you down the road.
Thank you so much. You've been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. Wasn't Dr. Rebecca Smith, the film doctor, outstanding? Many things we could do, whether you don't believe in the cosmics or spirituality, can make our life better, more productive, more engaging. It's just something that you might want to think about. Go to Dr. Smith's website, Dr. Rebecca Smith. You can look her up, get her information, read her book. I think it'd be beneficial for you. Now, what we want to do now is just talk about how to get a bigger Social Security check. But before you do that, hey, I want to truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting us know, letting your friends, your family members know. If you're enjoying the stories and helpful information, go to our YouTube channel at Saving with Steve Sexton. I encourage you to subscribe there. And check out our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Also, follow us on Facebook. Join the Saving with Steve Sexton Insiders Club for more financial tips. At savingwithsteve.us, you can get all the replays, exclusive access to after-show videos, guest gifts, and more. Now, let's talk about how to get a bigger Social Security check. Social Security is a vital source of for most Americans in retirement. In fact, Social Security average makeups 36% of retirees' income. But for many, it's the number one or number two source of income in retirement. You work hard for your money. You need to get every penny out of a guaranteed income. And we know as Social Security, I've got 8 ways to make sure you get a larger check or collect more money from Social Security overall, okay? First thing, you wanna check your earning records, all right? So set up a My Social Security account, go to ssa.gov, that's ssa.gov. You'll be able to review your current earning records, okay? It's usually on page 3. You know what? You might be able to increase your benefit if you spot an error. I typically get 1 or 2 people a year that come in and complain to me that their Social Security earnings record is incorrect because they had like $120,000 with income, but it shows $1,200 or $12,000. You know what? The Social Security is not going to correct that. You need to correct that yourself. Next, when they calculate your primary earning amount, they're using your average index earnings for 35 years, and then they're going to inflation adjust it. Now, if you don't have 35 years of average earnings, what they'll do is say if you have 20 years, they're going to take the average for 20, but they're also going to add 15 years of zeros and then average it and adjust it for inflation. Now, if you have 39 years of working or earnings record, the worst 4, the smallest 4 are going to get wiped out. You're going to get the top 35, all right? So it's important, it's a very important to make sure that you get the most out of there. Next, you know what? You want to beef up your earnings records. Now, how do you do that? It's always good to pump up your benefit check by successfully getting higher paying jobs, okay, throughout your life. Okay, now also working longer than 35 years, so the bottom 4 can go out there. But there's many people that have realized that, you know what, they can pump up their Social Security earnings. And one of the best ways to do that is to get a side gig. So if you're not making over $142,800, consider going to work for Lyft. Consider going to work for Home Depot or tutoring somebody. An extra $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a year could bump up your Social Security payment. Next, wait as long as you can to collect Social Security. Now, this has some ins and outs with it, so you need to pay attention here. Number one, when it comes to Social Security and waiting longer, you've got to remember something. They're going to take your 35 years, highest earning years, average earnings, and inflation adjusted. They're going to use 3 bend points to collect your to calculate your primary insurance amount, okay? And then that primary insurance amount, which is the amount of money you're going to receive at full retirement. So if you're born past 1960, that's age 67. Let's say you get $2,000 at the age of 67, all right? at the age of, check this out, 62, you can start taking Social Security. If you do take it at 62, you only get 70% of that 2000. Oh, okay. So you have to understand how much that is. Two, for every year, if it's 63, you might get 78, 80%, 83, 95. When you hit full retirement, you're getting your full retirement, that 2000. And then think of this. Hey, for every year you went past your full retirement age, you're going to get 8% more until you hit the age of 70. Now, here's the thing. You can work until the age of 70, fine. You can retire at 66 and wait 4 years until you hit the number 70. But you have to understand, you're going to have to backfill a little bit with your own money in order to get to a point where you're getting that highest Social Security check. So you want to make sure you look at that in the context of your retirement, because the last thing you want to do is, if you got $2,500 a month or $30,000 a year for 4 years that you're giving up so you can get $500 or $600 more a month, okay, what will be the impact of putting money in now to when you're 80, 82, 83? So it's very important you understand that. Next, take advantage of spousal benefits. Hey, spousal benefits works like this. If your primary income earner is at full retirement, say they're getting $2,000. And let's say, you know, you're the spouse and your spousal benefit at full retirement is less than $1,000, which means it's less than 50%. You can get a spousal benefit. If you take that spousal benefit at 62 and your spouse is at full retirement, you only get 70% of 50%, all right? But it can be a benefit. I know of many people who did not take their own Social Security at the age at full retirement and waited 4 years until they are 70 to receive $400 or $500 more per month. Here's the thing. If you think about it, $400 a month is almost $5,000 a year, $500 a month, almost $6,000 a year. But if somebody lives 20 years, you know what? That's almost another $100,000 of the lifetime. So you think about that when you're making that decision, because you know what? A lot of times you can take Social Security benefits as a spouse, allow yours to grow and be in a position where you're going to have a lot more money at the age of 70. Now, consider delaying your divorce. Turns out that if you've been married for 10 years, you have the ability to select a divorce as spouse benefit, which operates like a spousal benefit, where it's equal to 50% of your spouse's Social Security. Okay, so if your income's less than 50% of your divorce spouse's Social Security, you can get a divorce benefit. Okay, and again, put yourself in a position later on down the road where you can get a higher payment. But you need to be married for at least 10 years. So if you've only been married for 9 years or 8 years, you might want to hang out a couple of years. I had one client that waited that one last year, and because the ex-spouse had made so much money, I mean, it made a significant difference. In fact, the spousal benefit was almost $500 more than her benefit. And then, you know what? She continued on that divorce spouse's benefit for the rest of her life. But, you know, if you think about that, that was almost $500 a month for the rest of her life more than what she'd received if she took her own, okay? Now, keep in mind, if you get remarried again, you do have an option sometimes, depending on the situations, to pick the higher of the two. Now, next, hey, a lot of people make this mistake. Once or twice a year, we get this, and here's what happens. You know what? You retire at 62, you take your Social Security, and guess what? You go decide to get a job because you got nothing else to do. Problem is, if you make more than $18,960, for every $2 you make over, you lose $1 in Social Security. If you're within 1 year of your full retirement age, you can make $50,520, and for every $3 over, you lose $1 in Social Security. I have many people got surprised when Social Security sent them a request for return of funds, which wasn't exciting. Now, here's the thing. You want to really take a look at this to make sure it's a fit for you. Because basically what Social Security is saying here, hey, look, if you're not at full retirement, okay, you can't earn very much. But once you hit full retirement, you can earn as much as you want. There's no limits, no caps, no nothing. Now, last thing, see if you qualify for survivor disabled benefits. You know what? I have a brother that just passed away 3 months ago. His wife is entitled to survivor benefits as a spouse at the age of 60. His kids, because they're under 18, are entitled to kid benefits that'll help pay for rooms, food, the whole shot for the family. So it's important to look at those things because you can maximize your Social Security. Even if you employ just a few of these benefit boosting strategies, you may be able to collect more dollars from Social Security than you otherwise would have. So look, stick with us. We're going to be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. Thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for sharing with your friends, your family, and your associates. We have over 675,000 listeners here in the United States. We air to 85 countries. So we're very, very excited to be part of that network. Wasn't Dr. Rebecca Smith wonderful? We all want to have a productive work environment. And on top of that, if you're looking at Social Security, hopefully we had a few extra dollars into your pocket just by utilizing some of those strategies. Today, Dr. Carol Robbins and Dr. David Bradford, they teach a graduate school business course in interpersonal dynamics. It's affectionately known as the touchy-feely course. This book about how to connect and deal with people, create authenticity, vulnerability, and honesty while being asked for and offer help, share commitment to growth, and deal productively with conflict. It's a game changer. We have Dr. David Bradford here with us today, and we're just lucky to have him. Dr. Bradford, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Looking forward to it.
Now, here's one of the big things I'd like to ask, especially in this pandemic age. What damage technology is having on our ability to connect?
Well, I think it has had a major negative effect. And I think that we see this with Zooming. Now, Zooming is probably better than maybe a phone call. But I have a colleague who said, gee, the advantage of Zooming is I cut to the chase. But the question is, what do we cut out? And I think what we cut out is the personal aspect. The sort of things that happen when you're at the office, have coffee with somebody, have lunch with somebody, drop by their office. It's that schmoozing that starts to build relationships. And we've now become so task focused that we lose a personal connection.
Mm-hmm. I also think with too much technology, people have to take too long. Well, they take a while to get reconnected. So if they're playing with their cell phone, but trying to have a conversation with somebody, they're distracted. So you're not fully present. And if you can't be fully present, then you know what? You have a lack of memory. You don't really get what somebody's meaning. So I totally agree with that. Now, you know, let's talk about Zoom here. You know what? My understanding is in your book, you have this 90-second exercise that can improve the strength of your personal and professional relationships over Zoom. How does that work?
Yeah, many CEOs in Silicon Valley are doing this. And what they do is they start their weekly meeting with each member of the team, including the leader, having 90 seconds. to answer the question multiple times. If you really knew me today, you'd know that I'm excited about this project. You'd know that I'm distracted because my son's sick. You'd know that I'm hoping that we really can get to a decision today, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what they find is that when each person takes 90 seconds and shares, if you really knew me today, we do get to know each other. And it makes a big difference in the effectiveness of getting the task done. It's not wasted time. It's actually a great investment.
It's almost like somebody setting an intention for a meeting, but now everybody has the intention because they're all connected to it.
That's right. That's right. And I know you as a person. I know that if you're a little distracted, Steve, I have a sense of what it is. And it's not just that I've done something that's bothered you.
Yeah. You know what? There's too many people that I always equate that to, somebody cuts you off and you get all upset. Well, I don't get all upset. People get all upset and they do the middle finger and all that stuff. But the person who cut them off doesn't even realize they cut them off.
Right. So, and the trouble is I do it all the time.
What experiences do we all need as humans, and what can we do to give people that experience? I think, you know what, everybody needs an experience to be able to connect. So how do we go about doing that?
Well, I think I want to go back to technology. So I think there's another point that you made there, and that's the trouble with Facebook and all these things, which get us to present an image. And I see so many people, some of my colleagues, who hold the assumption that if I'm really to be like a leader, if I'm powerful, if I'm to be sexy, whatever it is, I have to pretend to be something I'm not. And what we find in this course that you mentioned, the touchy-feely course, is that as people take the risk of letting themselves be known in an appropriate way, they're more intriguing, they're more interesting, and they're more leader-like. So I think that there's something in our society that gets us into presenting images, and it's not to our advantage.
I actually agree with that. You know what? Like for me, I have a face for radio, but some reason I'm on TV. I'm just having fun. Now, you know what? I'm going to say this. People lose connections in lives. You know what? They have strained relationships. You know what? You know what? What can we do about stuff like that? How can we get those relationships back? How can we get those connections back?
Well, that's a great question. It's a complicated one. Let me start with an analogy. Let's say you're driving to work and you find that the wheels seem to be a little going off and the steering's a little loose and there's a knocking in the engine. You don't say bad car, and leave it in the ditch. You take it to get fixed. So I see difficulties we have interpersonally as a sign that something's going on. And if I could hold the intention that I want to keep this relationship, then rather than blaming the other, maybe we can start to look at what's going on. And I think the first place to look is yourself, because most interpersonal issues have an interpersonal component. And are you willing to say, hey, am I doing something? Rather than immediately jumping to the conclusion, it's the other person's fault. And I think if we have that intention of wanting to improve, seeing the bad steering, the problems we're having as a sign that something needs to be worked on, we can reconnect, even if we feel a little put off by the other person.
So what you're saying is that people need to realize it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
There's two sides to this disconnection. And you got to own your side and be comfortable enough to say, hey, look, I know some of the issues are mine. Let's work this through.
Yes, and I think when I don't do that, I build up the story. And I love that story because I'm always right and the other person's always wrong. And it's so disconcerting to have an open discussion and find it's more complicated. The world isn't that simple. But yet it's the complicated world that's also the more interesting one.
That's great. Hey, look, we're going to stop right there for a second. So stick with us. We're going to be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
You're listening to the Saving with Steve Show. I want to welcome you back. We're here with David Bradford, co-author of the book Connect. Now, we've been talking about how to develop meaningful relationships, how to do that through Zoom and many other things. But now I'd like to talk to David a little bit about the signature traits of a successful relationship. You know, what does it look like? What are the characteristics of it? What can we do to cultivate it? All those good things.
Okay. We found in our work that there's six key dimensions. One is, to what extent can I really be myself? That is, not spin an image, not try to pretend to be something else, but can I let you know who I really am? A second, can I do things which encourage you to do the same? So we can have a more honest relationship, a more trusting relationship. I think part of the trust is a third characteristic, that when I share things about myself, I know you're not going to use that against me. You're not going to pin me against the wall like a butterfly and say, well, isn't it because of this and this and this, but that you're truly curious. The fourth one is, can we be honest with each other? And I think there's a big difference between being brutally honest, which I find is more brutal than honest, and really being honest about what's going on with me. The fifth dimension is, can we lean into and accept conflict and disagreements and be able to resolve them in a way that's not only productive for the resolution, but actually builds the relationship. And the last one, which I find really important, is that we know that you and I, we're each committed to the other person's growth. And that's back to honesty, because it may mean that I'm going to tell you something that is bothering me, but I think it's important for you to know. So those are the characteristics, and the way to build relationship is to say, which of these characteristics now need working on? Am I holding something back? I need to be honest. Am I holding myself? Am I avoiding an issue? And if we deal with those, relationships can deepen and become more significant.
You know what? I think those are very simple, and I agree they're very tough. And you know what? I'll say this. For me personally, 15 years ago, I went through a bout of colon cancer. And quite frankly, going through that, recovering from it, basically pretty much my family knew, but very few people I worked with knew. And people that did know me, that knew about it, encouraged me to tell people. It's just one of those things that I kind of felt embarrassed that, hey, I had cancer. And you know what? Basically, it's a good story, but the reality is, the people who encouraged me to say, hey, you need to tell people about that because that's the foundation of what you do and why you do things. I said, yeah, but I'm embarrassed. I had cancer. You know, it just took me the longest time to go past it. But once I did, oh, geez, the doors just open up left and right. But I also felt like, you know what, because my journey, and some people actually called it more of a hero's journey because of what had happened. And I just felt like, you know what, hey, I'm bragging. Why should I do this? It's, you know, it's not my nature. So it's tough.
It's tough. And there's actually two parts to what you're talking about. One is the fact of you having colon cancer. And the second part is your embarrassment. And we tend to underestimate the power of emotions. And yet emotions tell us a lot about ourselves and make us very human. So having colon cancer is a fact. But having you say, gee, I'm embarrassed, makes you really human. And it's often those feelings which are hardest for us to disclose.
Yeah, in fact, I'm feeling warm right now just saying it.
And so, I think the other part, I said the second dimension was helping other people be more open. With you sharing it, it probably encouraged other people to say, wow, I have this, or I'm worried about that. But they also become more human because you were.
Yeah, you know what? I've found that I've been able to talk to a lot of people about the emotional side of recovery when it comes to recovering from something like cancer. And I've connected with a lot of people that way. In the financial consulting world and being about money, you know, what we're talking about in a way will help people develop the relationships through business and other things to make more money and things like that. But I've also found that helping people get prepared for what's going to happen later in life. You know what? I had cancer at 40 or 42. Wow. Some people, you know, I have a younger brother had it at 52, and there's other people I know, they have it in their 70s, and, you know, even in their 70s, they go, I can't believe this happened to me. But now they have somebody help them deal with the weird phone calls they get from friends and family members that don't know what to say or how to say it. And, you know what, it's my way of helping. And I actually feel good about that. But, you know what, I there's many things there that being authentic, especially if you're a senior manager and you're looking to, you know, for example, I was a 20-year-old executive for a company that everybody was older. I always felt like I had to, you know, have a great vocabulary. And when I kind of dumbed it down a little bit, it even got better. In fact, it was interesting because the CEO, Tom McKernan at the time, basically says, you know what? Got to make it simple and easy for people to understand. Some of these big words, people just lose you. So just, you know, act like everybody's stupid and just get to the point and you're going to be just fine.
Well, I think the other thing is that when we put on an image, we think we can fool people, but people see through it all the time. And we lose credibility because of it. And if we were more human, I think it builds credibility. There's a lot of research to support that. The leaders who are human are people that others want to follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found that worked quite well, and it's done quite well for acquiring clients as well, because I think that people buy you or like you or want to work with you because they like you and trust you. And one of the ways to do that is to be authentic and share something of yourself and the way really things are, and be a little bit vulnerable, or being authentically vulnerable, if that makes sense.
Appropriately so. Yeah.
So, you know what? I'd like to switch gears a little bit with you. How has the pandemic affected the way we interact with coworkers and build relationships?
It's made it very, very hard. My son is a senior engineer at Microsoft, and he was talking about how difficult it is with new hires, of how do you get to know them as people? And again, when all of our conversations are Zoom or on the phone, we're very tasky, as I said, and how do we become more personal? I think that's one thing. I think the other thing is that in some ways it's timely that our book came out about relationships, because I think the pandemic has shown how much we need them. I mean, I think the amount of depression that people have experienced, the amount of loneliness, we are social animals, and we need to connect. And I think the sad thing is how difficult people have in making these connections. And our hope is that the book will help people know how to reach out and how to make linkages and how to deepen the relationship in this pandemic time in which so many things are surfacey and distant, unconnected.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, especially with the surfacey side. You work with people on Zoom, and like you said before, people are just kind of getting to it. There's no real relationship development, or it's a distracted development because they've got, you know, cell phones and other things going off, and they're not really paying attention. And that's sad. And I agree with your son's assessment. My son last year during the pandemic had an internship with a company, and he was dealing with the director of engineering. My son wants to be an engineer. But all the other people that were involved with the meetings, you know, it was on Zoom, but he was the only one that had his picture on. Everybody else had it off. And even the director was, you know, it wasn't the best experience in the world for him. He learned things by his own doing, but it wasn't the best experience, because even the director would say, hey, I'm going to send you this information. I'll send it to you this afternoon. And he'd be emailing and never get that information. And 2 days later, he'd get the information so he can do the thing he needed to do. So it was just real interesting. So
yeah, it's really hard. And when you think when we're at the office, you drop by somebody's office and say, hey, you promised that. Can I get it now? And I think the other thing we know is that in organizations, we do business with people. There's issues of money and strategy and so on. And the more that we can build open, strong relationships, the more productive we are. There's a lot of evidence to show that.
Now, David, we're coming close to the end here. I just want to make sure everybody knows that they can get your 5-star rated book on Connect, Build Exceptional Relationships with Friends, Family, and Colleagues. They can get it on Amazon. It's a wonderful place to go get it. You also do, you and Carol do coaching, executive coaching, and other types of coaching. How can people get a hold of you if they need your help in that direction?
I think they go to our website, which is connectandrelate.com, or they can email me directly, which is dlbrad@stanford.edu. And I can get you in touch with Carol, who's a very effective coach and consultant.
David, I want to thank you for sharing this. I believe what you're talking about is so needed today, especially with what's going on with politics, this pandemic. And I think people have a lot of work to do on their relationships because of all the technology. And I'm just thankful that you're here to share the wisdom today.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it. Good luck.
Hey, be safe, be healthy, and we'll possibly have you back in the future. See you, David.
Good.
Bye-bye.
I bet.
Now, everybody, that was David Bradford. He's a co-author along with Carol Robbins for the book Connect, Build Exceptional Relationships with Friends, Family, and Colleagues. We're thankful that he's here. With that, I want to thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. You can always go to thesavingwithsteve.us or go and check us out on Spotify or Apple. Like us. Tell us what you think of the shows. We'll look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.